the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, and in production, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
Man, it was a beautiful sunrise. Did y'all see it?
No. I saw it through the
Some get here before blinds. The sun comes up, so that's why yeah. I asked. What was that, Gabby? What?
I said I saw it through the blinds. It's dark whenever I'm starting to work for the shows.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. It is worth tomorrow, set your clock for about 6:10 and just walk outside for a minute. And if it ought to be like today.
There we go. Awesome. Great. Well, you guys, opening prayer, Damian and Alicia is off today, in case those who are wondering, where's Alicia? We gave her the day off. She works way too hard. So, Damian, if you don't mind opening us up in prayer.
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Dear Jesus Christ, I can't thank you enough for entrusting your mother to me and me to her. I want to take care of her by being attentive, faithful son or daughter who imitates her. That's what I will console her and make her heart rejoice. Mary, be with us always. Intercede for us to your Son, Jesus Christ, in order that we may follow and do your Son's will, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Yes, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, pray for us. We'll learn more about St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi later on in today's show. Always looking forward to learning more. I don't know much about her, so I'm excited.
Neither do I. In fact, I inquired when we were warming up whether it was the St. Mary de Magdalene and whether they just decided to give a town associated with her or something, but it's not, right?
Yeah.
It's not the St. Mary.
No. I don't think so.
And there's a lot of them, believe me.
Right.
Yes,
but our mother's the most important. We must remember that.
So. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, we have your gospel and gospel reflection. We're talking events today. We also have wonderful guest Adam Bly joins us with his book called The Catholic Guide to Miracles. I am looking forward to this interview. This is interesting. Damian and I, we were talking about this on Friday, just how we're so interested in Eucharistic miracles and Catholic miracles. So I'm excited to talk to Adam about this. We're also speaking to Alan Migliarato. He's talking about the importance of going to church when we're on vacation. So I'm excited. I don't know about you guys, but we always went to Mass. Even when we were in Disney World, we always found that church over in Celebration, Florida, or in Orlando, and then never not made Mass, even while on vacation.
That's good. That's why you're such a holy person.
Oh, well, let's move on. Carla Broussard. I really try. Carla Broussard continues his book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. We're on challenge 49 called Wine is a Mocker. So we're going to let Carlo explain exactly what that means. Yeah. But other than that, Jeff, it's beautiful outside.
Yes, indeed. We had a good dry weekend. Looks like we've got a dry stretch of weather ahead, at least for the next few days. Partly sunny days, partly cloudy nights. The high is going to be a bit warm in the mid to upper 80s. The overnight lows right in the upper 60s, around 70. Presently in Long Beach, it is sunny, 68 degrees. 72 in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Houma, sharing 70 degrees this morning. Off to a great start on this lovely Monday.
Wow. Sounds wonderful and beautiful. No rain.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the
Maybe
sunshine.
The whole
Thanks
week.
So much.
From what I'm hearing. Might get a drizzle, but that's about it. So that's nice.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
definitely. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. morning on this memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. Today's Gospel comes to us from John chapter 19. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. And in this reflection this morning, I can't help but think that this is Jesus's last will and testament when he's on the cross. You know, he gives to Mary, he gives the friend that he loves the most, John. Yeah. And John was never shy of saying that in the gospel, that he was the one Jesus loved the most, who will also need her help in the difficulties that he's going to face on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And to John, he gives the greatest human comfort, his mother, to his best disciple.
Mm.
And he knows that she needs him and adopts him as a son to comfort her and accompany her in her journey, because it was not going to be an easy journey for either one.
Right.
John took his responsibility very seriously in the aspect of bringing Mary into his home, but his, not his, just don't think of it as his home, you know, in our neighborhood or that we go home to every day. Home for John was nothing more than the church itself, if you think about that, that Jesus founded. And because Mary is Mother Church. And so Jesus is handing over his mother, Mary, the church, to all his disciples, not just John, who he had formed for 3 years. And now all this stuff is starting to come to fruition. And when Jesus says, "I thirst," he was thirsting for all of us to become one community, the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he is commissioning her to be the mother of the new church. So today I just suggest that you might reflect on a personal devotion or prayer. What all this means to maybe you? How do you see yourself as part of the church? And at the same time, if you get a chance, offer up a rosary for someone or the church, because the church really needs our prayers right now more than ever. So that's today's reflection.
Nicely done.
I love that, Damien.
Yeah.
Yes, a wonderful perspective and a good concrete thing we can do today. So I really like that. Thanks so much, Damien. We got some announcements, and this one came Friday evening, but Bishop Michael Duca has officially announced the end of the dispensation from the obligation to attend Mass. This is on Sundays, Holy Days of Obligation, and other vigils for all without a sufficient reason, effective June 6th, so the Feast of Corpus Christi. So that will be the end of the dispensation in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He also noted that masks are no longer required in church for those who are vaccinated, although people are respectfully required just to be cautious for those who do feel a little bit nervous still from the virus. So that's with the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So that was a big announcement that came on Friday evening. And also, we have some events happening in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Christ in the City returns on Tuesday, June 1st at St. Rita Church in New Orleans. This is at 7:15, so come join the young adults of the Archdiocese for an hour of adoration and confession. I love Christ in the City. It's such a beautiful time for you to get together and to just be in silence with our Lord for an hour, and then having opportunities for confession. And I'm looking forward to the day that there is a social after Christ in the City. Those are fun.
That will not be too far away, I think.
I think so. I think so too, Damien. So looking forward to that. So that is Tuesday, June 1st. And I thought this was cool. Tuesday, June 8th, there is a Rosary Social, 6:30 to 8:30 at Mater Dela Rosa Church in New Orleans. That's off South Carrollton Avenue. And there is actually a social to follow at Ale.
Well, there you go.
On Oak. That's on Oak Street in New Orleans. So check that out. Plenty of opportunities for you to get together, young adults. And I've also seen non-young adults come to Christ in the City. So, you know, if you're not, I think 39 is like the quote, like limit.
Is it? Oh, there is an age limit.
You should still go. Yeah, well, you should still go.
They don't want us old fogies hanging around.
We'll adoration's for everyone.
I'm young at heart. That sounds like something I would enjoy, but if there's a limit, I understand.
Well, check out events as well. We have a few events on our website. We did get a new website, so it has been updated, ccradio.live. But there is, if you go to events, there is a way for you to submit an event to us, and we'll post it on our calendar. A couple of events have been coming in. I think right now we have three or four. So more are starting to come in, of course, with the new website and everything like that. So ccradio.live is where you can go and submit an event. And I encourage that it be at least 2 weeks in advance, just so we can have enough time to talk about it. I know I had someone submit an event 24 hours before, and I didn't get a chance to post it. So I wanted to make sure that we had enough time to, talk about the event. So
exactly.
We can get everyone to come.
Speaking of events, you do anything exciting over the weekend?
I did. I spent time with family yesterday, and that was a lovely time. So we soaked up the wonderful, beautiful weather and had breakfast together. So that was really nice.
Yeah, we had the grandkids come in and visit.
Oh, come on.
I don't even say the kids come anymore. It's just the grandkids. But it's always nice. They live in Texas, so we don't get to see them as often as we would like to. But, boy, what they grow so fast.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it at that. How about you, Jeff? Anything?
No, it was a rather quiet weekend around our house, but a granddaughter called and said she's bringing the great-grands over this week. So
the great-grands.
Yes, wow. The great-grands. I know. I'm ancient.
That's
okay.
Amazing. I hope to get to that status one day.
They are precious.
That's great.
Nothing better in the world.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Well, we'll learn more about our saint of the day coming up right after the break. Also, we'll dive deeper into miracles, into our faith. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. During her 41 years, Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was in such close union with God that she is called the ecstatic saint, but she also knew times of spiritual dryness. Born in Florence in 1566, Catherine de Pazzi entered the local Carmelite convent at 16, taking the name Sister Mary Magdalene. After only 1 year, she became critically ill. Death seemed near, so her superiors let her make her profession of vows from a cot in the chapel. Immediately after, she fell into an ecstasy that lasted some hours. The ecstasies, repeated after she received communion on the following 40 mornings, were rich experiences of union with God. To preserve the revelations, Mary Magdalene dictated her prayer experiences over the next 6 years to her sister secretaries. Her words filled 5 large volumes of books that recorded ecstasies as well as long periods of trial. Mary Magdalene endured violent temptations and great physical suffering. She died in 1607 and was canonized in 1669. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:18 on Wake Up. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damien Collado, Jeff Blackwell, and Karen Cotton in production. And do you have a prayer request for us? Send us your prayer request at our website, ccradio.live. Under the Resources tab, you can click on Ask for Prayer or call our Prayer Force line at 225 225-341-2720. I have to practice for drive time, saying numbers very slowly.
Yep.
225-341-2720. We pray for your intentions before the morning show. We bring your prayer intentions to the Adoration Chapel. So you can always count on our prayers when it comes to the prayer requests and the prayer force line. So wonderful ways for you to send those in as well. And our summer drive time is next week, Tuesday, June 1st through Thursday, June 3rd. We rely on listener donations during this time. We'll have guests every hour to help us raise money and continue to bring the gospel message to you. So things like streaming, things like our app, our website, and so many others that we have relied on a lot, especially in the last year. This is what drive time is all about. So next Tuesday, June 1st through next Thursday, June 3rd. And last but not least, Damian, follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Unity Radio, and on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. So lots of ways to connect with
us. Yeah, and if you can leave a review, say something nice, why don't you?
Yeah, that'd
be
great too.
That's right.
And even if it's not so nice,
we'd love to hear from you.
We
take
criticism
pretty well. That's right. In the meantime, we have our next guest, Adam Bly. He is a layman and is a Church Decreed expert in religious demonology and exorcism for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And he has also served as an expert in these areas, believe it or not, in training priests, deacons, and laity in many other dioceses as well. And with over 15 years of working and training in the exorcism ministry, he has witnessed or experienced a number of miracles, some of which he has even been appointed to investigate by the church. And we're excited to have Adam with us this morning. The Catholic Guide to Miracles is his latest book. Don't know if he's written other books, but he's written this one. And I am so enthralled with miracles and even the stories of exorcism. So, Adam, good morning to you and welcome to South Louisiana.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I have to ask you right out of the box, how did you even get started in this endeavor?
Well, God drew me into it back when I was working on graduate studies at Penn State in psychology in a brainwave research lab, and I was curious whether any of the strange experiences people were reporting back in those days, this was about 15 years ago, whether those experiences were truly, you know, supernatural or preternatural, or if it was just artifacts of the brain, you know, basically mental illness or something going on with the brain. And I came across real situations, met specialist clergy, and doors just kept opening, and God still has me working in this area.
My.
That is amazing. With that being said, your background, you talk about the fact that you touch on the mental illness aspect of it versus, you know, if it's real. How do you go about doing that? And tell us also in your book is broken out interestingly enough as well. We'll get into that. But how do you determine if it's a miracle or if it's just something someone's making up?
Well, you know, the church tends to rely when it comes to declaring saints and requiring miracles associated with them, the church tends to rely on medical healings because those are the ones that are kind of the easiest to objectively prove.
Yeah.
So, you know, the church doesn't tend to make statements formally on a lot of the types of miracles because they're kind of anecdotal and they're harder to objectively verify with outside experts. So when it comes to those miracles, the healings, you know, what the church looks for is that it's an instantaneous healing, that it's a complete healing, that it has no other explanation, and that it's lasting. And that's a pretty high bar to meet. And that's a good thing because the church is very cautious about declaring something a miracle. So, of course, we have, you know, miracles in the Bible and Scripture. You know, Jesus did a lot of miracles and made it clear that those were signs for the people to know that you know, that God was present. But in our time, we still have miracles, and we tend to kind of focus on the healings in terms of proving them. Now, to touch on mental illness that you mentioned, part of what you want to do is make sure it's not just delusion or hallucination on somebody's part if they're claiming a miracle happened. And, you know, that involves a number of things, having some experience in medicine and mental health, talking with their doctors, seeing if other people witnessed or experienced it in addition to the person making the claim.
Okay. And today being, you know, we celebrate Mother Mary, the Church, apparitions of Mary. That's one of the chapters in your book as well. How do you go about proving that? And I'm still curious as far as Medjugorje goes, if we'll ever see that as declared an official apparition.
Right. So first off, it's the local bishop where the purported apparition happened or is happening is responsible for making the judgment on that. Now, they often do contact Rome and get help evaluating it because most dioceses, most bishops have not encountered that before. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's that local bishop's statement. And that's generally given after, you know, pretty extensive investigation of things. It can be tough if it's just a person seeing Mary and there's no miracle that's, you know, other people see, like at Fatima or other effects going on that can be documented. And so in those cases, they tend to look for the fruits of that apparition, and they tend to look for heresy or, you know, kind of bad outcomes or distortions or being pulled away from the church. And then also, of course, looking for mental illness to see if it's a hallucination.
Yeah.
So you never really prove an apparition. What the church tends to do is say that there's nothing there to cause the faithful to avoid it. But the church would rarely say, you know, this apparition is important, you need to pay attention to it. And that's because private revelation, it's a critical concept to understand, never supplants or replaces the full revelation in Scripture from God. And so even if something were to seem to be real, the church wouldn't say, oh, you need to follow what's been said here.
Got it. Adam, where can they get your book?
The best place would just be Sophia Institute, which is the publisher. And, you know, in addition to that, the typical places people can find books. But I think the fastest and best would just be sophiainstitute.com.
Adam Bly, the author of The Catholic Guide to Miracles. It's a great book, and you need to get your hands on it if you've ever been curious about it. Adam, got to ask you, what are you investigating right now?
Right now, I'm primarily involved in exorcism cases, which we're doing all the time. We have 3 to 4 going at any given time for years. And in terms of miracles, I'm likely going to be doing some traveling to Europe to kind of look at historic miracles and look into, you know, the witnesses and the primary documents connected with those. The pandemic has slowed down that project because travel, of course, has become difficult. But basically, it's going to be exploring some of the large historic miracles connected with Mary and St. Michael.
Can you name one or two of them?
Or well,
is it top secret?
I would be interested in doing a study of when pandemics have been stopped, because it would, I think, be really salient for us today. And in particular, St. Michael has been involved in stopping a number of pandemics over time.
Wow.
You know, that famous statue of Michael in Rome with the sword at, you know, that many people have seen at the Bridge of the Angels, kind of in that fortress overlooking the bridge.
Yeah.
That's there because that's where he appeared and stopped a pandemic.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's been involved in apparently a number of them being stopped. So I think that might be salient and interesting to kind of go around the world and look at those cases.
You're not kidding. What about the stigmata? To me, Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, he's one of my favorite saints. Are there still people receiving the stigmata even in today's world?
It seems so, yes. From the best I can tell, there are always cases of people claiming it. That's a big difference between people having the experiences that the church has seen to be typical in genuine cases. And there have been, you know, some recordings by the church of what is a valid stigmata, the things that go along with that, mm-hmm. versus deceptions or just people that are misguided or mentally ill. But yes, it seems that there seems to always be a few in each generation, as far as I can tell. Now, unfortunately, there's no master list that you can go look at, because, again, things are handled on a local level by the local bishops. And so it'd be really hard to, you know, find a master list of everything going on in the world.
I see. Boy, I could talk to you for an hour. Adam, we're running out of time, so I want to plug your book one more time. Adam Blythe, The Catholic Guide to Miracles. And we didn't get into Eucharistic miracles, but I hope next time we'll have you back on real soon and we could touch on that as well. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Adam.
Oh, thank you, and God bless your listeners.
God bless you as well. Okay, it is 7:29 here on Wake Up. We're going to be back with more, so hold on to your seat. We'll be right back on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The stunning reality seeping into more and more conversations and more deeply into American conscience is both the reality and the beauty of the human person in the womb. A doctor with the Charlotte Lozier Institute explains at Life News that the 1973 understanding of fetal viability should be considered a relic compared with what we are allowed to see today. Dr. Colleen Malloy tells how emerging science shows an understanding of pain and the surgeries correcting problems before birth show these are real children. The actions these children make and their reactions demand of us as observers a commensurate response of justice. New Mexico Bishop James Wall clearly remembers that the goal behind church discipline is to turn sinners from sin. Urging other bishops toward this focus, Bishop Wall says those who promote the killing of unborn babies in abortions are risking their salvation. This is Life News Radio. Other stories. After HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra made outlandish claims about law and abortion, and especially partial birth abortion, popular fact-checkers are agreeing with pro-life advocates. They also note Becerra voted against what became law. Criticizing Texas for passing a heartbeat abortion restriction, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki made it clear the Biden White House wants to federalize any law it chooses, seemingly beginning with abortion. Related to heartbeat abortion bans, Huffington Post is trying to claim there is no beating heart at 6 weeks gestation. Some elementary anatomy observations here. Cardiac tissue, four chambers, sinus rhythm, moving blood. It is a beating heart. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 7:35 on Wake Up. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado.
Yeah.
It's another Italian. That's okay. We're all family.
Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. Alan Migliorato does join us today. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I didn't know if we had another Alan there. That was awesome. You guys changed your names to Alan. This is great.
Oh, my goodness. No, you know, I got a text saying that you are on and you joined us this morning. And yeah, so I'm excited to have you with us today. You're talking about the importance of going to church even while we're on vacation. So, Alan, give us your tips and your thoughts on this.
Right. So let's look at the original reason we do that. I don't remember that one of the commandments being, you know, keep the Lord's Day holy, except if you're at the beach. So it's an important thing, you know, for us, and it's so easy. Wouldn't it be awesome if our faith was convenient? You know, if we could pick and choose which commandments we wanted to follow, if we could pick and choose, you know, how easy it is. It's easy to follow Jesus if you pick and choose your own rules, right? But it's not supposed to be easy. You know, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, and that means there's going to be inconvenient times. There's going to be difficult times to get to church. But we knew you have to make it a priority. And I recall when we were setting up this interview this morning, I remember when my daughter would play travel basketball and we would be on the road, you know, in different cities and different towns, different states at different times. And, mm-hmm. you know, that we would always look for the closest Catholic church and make sure we got there. And so, remember, she had a game on a Sunday, and she goes, "Dad, what are we going to do about church?" And I said, "Well, what do you think we should do?" Now I know what we should do.
Right.
So we yes. should look for Saturday evening, you know, when the Sabbath starts. Let's look for after 5 o'clock on Saturday, or maybe we go later in the day on Sunday. But she had a tournament that went all day Sunday and Saturday evening. And I said, So what do you think we should do? And she goes, let's find some different times for different churches. She goes, and you know, find the closest mm-hmm. one. She goes, and I'm just going to have to miss one of the games. Now, you know, for her to say that, like, she was starter, you know, like, would be scoring 35 points a game and was going to definitely make a difference for the team if she didn't show up for a game. Yeah. But we ended up missing a game. Now, and we were going to one way or another, but I wanted this to be her decision.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to pick this and her to find this. And it's important for our teens and our, you know, our kids to understand, too. They have to put God first. If everything mm-hmm. else, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses from Isaiah, and I wish I could remember the number, but I'm going to blow that. So I'm just going to say it's in Isaiah. But it says, you know, the grass fades and the flower withers away, but the word of our God remains forever. And that mm-hmm. that's something that we need to base our lives on with our families, is that everything else is going to go away, you know, everything. But the word of our God lasts forever. So where should we put our efforts? It should yes. be in making sure God is first in everything we do, not setting him aside when it's inconvenient for us because we're enjoying the beach or because we're like snow skiing and we just didn't want to look for a close town. And there's a young man that I work with. He's in his 20s now, but I started working with him when he was about 14. And we made a deal that he's not going to miss church for the next 3 months or 4 months. And so there's a long story behind that, but quickly, he said, he's like, "Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Puerto Rico next week." He's like, "So I'm not sure." I go, "Yeah, because there's probably not a Catholic church in Puerto Rico."
Right.
So probably a lot.
I go, "That's going to be really hard."
One on every corner.
Yeah. I'm like, if you can't find a church in Puerto Rico that's Catholic, you're probably not in Puerto Rico. So you need to start looking, brother. And he's like, "Yeah, I will. So he texted me a picture from Puerto Rico. He's at a church. So I was like, good for you, man. I'm proud of you, you know? So yeah. There's ways, you know, you just got to keep reminding our families and yes. our teams, like, that's important. The number one thing in our lives is God.
You know, and it's easier now more than ever. We just plug it into our GPS, put it in Waze, Google it on our phone, and we'll find the local Catholic church. You know, my parents, even when we were on vacation, I know as kids it was probably really frustrating, I think, at times to kind of leave, especially when you're in Disney World, to leave Disney World, go to Mass, and not understanding as a kid, why are we doing this, and then coming back. As an adult, when I had to plan our Disney trips, I made sure to squeeze Mass in there on a day where we just kind of wanted to relax. And it's easier now. You can get an Uber and go. So there really is ways to do it that are better than how it used to be.
Yeah.
So,
well, you also have the app, Mass Times. I keep that app handy. No matter where you go, you can look that up the day before you get there or whenever before you get to the city. And it pops up and tells you the closest church to where you're going to be. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
There's no excuses, right, Alan?
No, there's not. And honestly, even if there was no app, if there was no virtual Mass,
right.
which I'm not crazy about 100% the virtual, I understand why they're doing it. And I understand that, you know, it was kind of a resource that we used during the pandemic. But we're coming out of some of that right now, and we need to get back to church. We need to make time to get there. You know, and I know that makes some people uncomfortable for hearing that because they really like the convenience of doing the virtual. But we got to make time to get back. We've got to make the effort to put God first.
Yeah. Well, the app is called Mass Times. It's not a virtual Mass. It's,
oh, I know. No, no.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I was off on one of my tangents. You got to roll with me here, man.
I'm trying to hold on, brother. Now, but the key to it is the parent. It's up to the parents when the children are young to lay the foundation. So when they get older, they don't have to be told they need to go to Mass because they have to understand the beauty of Mass. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it is a beautiful. It's my favorite place to be, is sitting in any church. But it's just very relaxing for me, and I get to recharge. You know, and I think when my kids have seen that growing up, this has become paramount in their lives because now they focus on, you know, saying. My daughter ordered a missal the other day because she wanted to bring it to Mass. You know, and to just follow along. And she's in her 20s. And, you know, I don't tell her to do these things. And she says the rosary when we get to church. We'll get there 30 minutes early. Well, Dad, when they were younger, why do we have to get here 30 minutes early? I said, because we're not going to eat and run. We're going to come in and enjoy the Lord a little bit and, you know, focus and kind of enjoy the environment of being surrounded by believers and fellow believers. And you know, God is worth showing up 30 minutes early for. If this was a concert, we'd show up early, wouldn't we? And first of all, I don't even like concerts, but I know that a lot of teens like to go to concerts. And I always say, look, if you had a chance to see Harry Styles right now, you'd be camped out the night before. So
don't even know who that is, so forget
me. Oh, Damien. Yeah, okay.
I guess I need to go to his concert to find out.
You're not missing anything, Damien. You're good.
Thanks, Al.
That's
I appreciate
true,
it.
Alan. I actually have seen him in concert. One of the things that I think really helps kids is Magnificat, and Jeff Blackwell actually introduced the Magnificat, which is just the kid version of the Magnificat. And it is amazing. They have crossword puzzles. They have all the readings for church. They have like Catholic comics and stuff that your child can read when you get to Mass early and you're trying to get that seat. And we have brought, there's a lot of gnat noise happening outside. So if you, that's not in your car. but we bring that on vacation to make our son feel like, okay, you know, the routine is still happening here.
Yeah.
Even though we're in a different state, you know, he still feels comfortable bringing that, and he wants to bring it. Highly encourage looking into the Magnificat. But that's so great, Alan, bringing your own missal and continuing to feel that the comfortness of like you're going to church in your hometown or your home state.
I think one thing that helps too, and this would be my tip, is don't wait till Sunday to start worshiping. You know, like we'll go on a hike or just on a bike ride, and like I'll stop sometime and just be looking at a tree. And my daughter's like, "Again, Dad, you're praying again." And I'm like, "Yes." Like, but look at this tree; it's awesome. And she's like, "Okay, all right, deep breath, St. Francis." And I'm like, "Well, what? I'm telling you, like, I love nature, you know, and so I see God in nature everywhere.
There you
I
go.
See God in animals. I see God in people. I see God in water, in everything." Sorry. And my daughter's like, "Oh my gosh, you're so over the top." And I'm like, "Yeah." But I see her doing the same thing, you know, like she'll stop and she'll draw a picture of it, like a tree, or take a picture of it, or a butterfly or flowers. So like I know that it's getting across them. And if we wait till Sunday to start worshiping, then it becomes an urgent thing that we have to do, and it becomes a task. But if we
Great
can show
point.
Our kids that, you know, it's more than just once a week, it's not 30, it's not an hour a week we give to God. We give every minute of every day to God, and we go to recharge ourselves and give thanks and worship on Sunday at the church. I think that's a beautiful thing for families.
Absolutely. Alan Migliorato, you can go to adventurecatholic.com for more information. Alan, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, guys. God bless you. Have a great week.
Ciao.
You too. Yes, Carlo Broussard joins us right after the break. We're on Challenge 49 of Meeting the Protestant Challenge. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
Oh my, what a lovely day. A great start to what it will be an absolutely beautiful week. Gabby Smith joins us from New Orleans. We've got the one, the only, the original, Damien Camado. There he is, on the trumpet.
The
Damien is joining us in Studio A, and we decided that Alicia deserved a little time off. Bless her heart. She worked hard last week with the graduations and the family and visitors in and stuff like that. So anyway, let's talk weather briefly. Going to be a gorgeous day. The next few days are going to be dry. Highs in the mid-80s. Yeah, warm it up. And the overnight lows in the upper 60s to near 70. And it'll continue that way through Wednesday. Presently, Long Beach, sunshine galore, 69 degrees. Baton Rouge and Houma reporting in at 71. New Orleans reporting in at 72. And let's see, San Diego is reporting in at 57 degrees.
To
that we say,
hey!
There you go! Picking up on that cue, Carlo Broussard, the Cajun apologist, joining us here this Monday morning. Good morning, Carlo!
Hey, good morning, guys.
Man, I can smell the crawfish boiling.
Che passe dans la porte
naya. There you go, brother.
All right, now
it sure is beautiful over here in Southern California.
Man, well, we're so delighted you're able to get up extra early to be with us this morning. We're kind of wrapping up the book here, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. We're on challenge number 49. You had me at wine, but this this time was wine is a mocker. Now I'm curious. What's up?
Yeah. So this is a challenge that's directed. It's not from all Protestants, just a particular select group of Protestants that will pose a challenge to Catholics drinking wine, right? Because in Catholic life and practice, we understand that we believe that it's okay to partake of wine within the boundaries of moderation, guided by reason, right?
Yes.
But some will challenge that and say, well, wait a minute. The prophet Amos pronounces a woe on those who drink wine in bowls. And Proverbs 20, verse 1 says that wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, right? Mm-hmm. And leads astray those who are not wise. So it would seem as if the Catholic practice of permitting drinking of alcoholic beverages is something that's nullifying the word of God and contradicting God's word here. So that's the challenge. Yeah. And so let's see how we can respond to it.
All right.
The first way we can meet the challenge is to show that the verse is not forbidding the consumption of alcohol in an absolute sense, because other verses explicitly affirm it. So we could look at a few passages in the Old Testament. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 26, Moses instructs the Israelites about their obligation to tithe. Yeah. And he informs them that if they're too far away from where they are to like bring their crop, they are to bring their crop to the temple or to the holy tent of meeting, they're to turn it into money and spend the money for whatever they desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Wow. Now, the Hebrew word for strong drink is shikar, and that's the word used for beverages that contain alcohol having the potential to intoxicate. So think about this. If alcoholic beverages were forbidden, absolutely speaking, as the challenge asserts, well, then Moses would be giving the Israelites permission to do something that's immoral. But that doesn't make sense, right? I don't think we want to say that Moses, with God's authority, is giving instructions for the Israelites to do something immoral. Mm-hmm. And so this prohibition, these biblical passages cannot be forbidding alcohol in an absolute sense. Here's another example in the Old Testament. Think about this. Remember Melchizedek?
Yeah.
King of Salem? Yeah. What did he offer to Abraham, and what did he offer in sacrifice, right? Remember Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes, and we read in Genesis 14, 18 that Melchizedek offered bread and wine, right? Mm-hmm. And so there you see the Bible affirming wine. And then there are some other passages as well in the Old Testament, but we also have evidence in the New Testament. And we see the evidence in Jesus' own ministry. We see that Jesus was favorable to wine in his ministry. Can y'all think of one example?
Yeah, I mean, the Last Supper for sure.
The Last Supper. And think about a miracle. What was Jesus'
miracle? Yeah, no, I mean, his first miracle.
That's right. Jesus changes a whole lot of water into a whole lot of wine, right?
Yes.
Now, here's the key. Here's what's very important in considering Jesus' miracle at the wedding in Cana. Notice that in verse 10, we read, every man serves the good wine first, right? The steward's complimenting the groom here.
Yeah.
Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until
now, right?
And so the idea is that the good wine is the intoxicating stuff, right? Once everybody gets drunk, then they serve the poor wine because they don't know no difference.
Right.
But what happens is you've kept the good wine until now. And what that tells us is that Jesus changed water into the wine that has the potential to intoxicate. And the reason why that's important, guys, it's because many of these Protestants who will challenge the Catholic permission of partaking of alcoholic beverages will say, well, all of those pro-wine passages, mm-hmm. that's just referring to diluted wine. Like, it's so diluted,
right.
It doesn't have any potential to intoxicate whatsoever. Wow. So you can't appeal to those passages mm-hmm. as a Catholic. Well, from the miracle at the wedding at Cana, we see that Jesus was in favor of the good wine, the stuff that had the potential to intoxicate.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we recognize that Jesus is God. He's without sin. So he's affirming the good of alcoholic beverages, in particular the good wine. But of course, within reason, within moderation, he would not be approving of drunkenness. Here's another example from the New Testament, where we see that Jesus was favorable of wine in his ministry. In Luke chapter 7, verse 34, here's what we read. Check this out. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, Jesus is talking to his audience here. And you say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Okay, do you see the implication? The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a glutton. Well, if they're calling Jesus a glutton, what does that imply? He was eating a lot of food, right?
Yeah.
They say, you're a friend of tax collectors. What does that imply? He's hanging out with some tax collectors. He's got one of them in his company, Matthew, yes.
Right?
You're hanging out. You're a friend of sinners. What does that imply? He's having table fellowship.
You better be able to drink after you saw that tax return, I would think.
Very good, David. Very clever. And so finally, they say, they're calling Jesus a drunkard.
Yeah.
Well, what does that imply? Jesus is partaking of the good stuff. He's partaking of the wine that has the potential to intoxicate. All right, so for Jesus to be charged with being a drunkard, he must have drunk the kind of wine that has the potential to intoxicate. So we see in all of these passages where wine is affirmed, alcoholic beverages are affirmed. So therefore, we can conclude that these other passages do not say wine is forbidden in an absolute sense. And there's other ways to meet it. I explained what these other passages mean, but your listeners can get a copy of the book and figure it out.
And where do we find it, Carlo?
They can go to shop.catholic.com. Meeting the Protestant Challenge is the title.
Carlo Broussard, God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, God bless y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Salud.
Thanks, Carlo.
Okay, we're going to pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, help me to be like you. Help me to be obedient to the teachings of the church and faithful to God's commands. Help me to be patiently enduring to my cross each day. Be my guide and companion on this journey, St. Joseph. Terror of demons, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
St. Joseph,
pray for us and protect us.
Thanks for joining us.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.